Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and by TimberTech, Decking and Railing. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Mennelly, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, it is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and, of course, TimberTech Decking and Railing. And, guys, I mean, I don't know. There was a couple of moments in that game. They can't stop anyone. I mean, it didn't matter. Down distance, you got to overtime, and they just converted every time you turned your head.
Yeah, this is a tough one, man. You know, I tweeted during the game that I thought they quit, and I did, because I saw in the last punt of the third quarter, I saw the effort of the punt team, and I'm like, oh, no, here it goes. Well, you know what? I was wrong. So I got to give them credit for fighting back and doing what they did. But attention to details, guys. That's what's missing with this team.
Yeah.
Another blocked field goal, not getting away from the punt that led to another 7 points. So that's 10 points there for the special teams.
Yeah.
Just a lot of stuff that needs to be buttoned up, and you can't have those things happen if you're a team like the Bears. And I will give them credit for coming back and doing what they did. And the other thing I'll finish up by saying is that it kind of summed up, I think, what a rookie Caleb Williams looks like. He came back, fought his butt off, got us in position to win, and then made a poor rookie mistake taking that bad sack in overtime when he should have thrown the ball away. Yeah. But we saw a lot of promise with him. But again, it's just the details overall with a team like this, you can't have that happen. And that's just really disappointing.
Yeah, there was so much in this game. I guess where I'll start is just the talent of the young quarterback. You know, I'll be like the Chicago Bears, and I'll try to sell you on this loss we just had. So his arm is phenomenal, right? It's a phenomenal. Some of those throws he made today were phenomenal. As Manley says, that sack in overtime is a rookie mistake, right? And they lead back. It's just everything just keeps repeating itself this year, and you're waiting for them to find the answers that they're looking for to fix. As you mentioned, Manley, the details on special team, getting a block, right hash, middle field, left hash. It doesn't seem to matter, right?
Matter, no.
And then it takes so long to move somebody over to that left side, right? Like, that's what you should have done before you even got the first block.
Thank you.
Like, people notice your protection was leaky. You finally moved Darnell right over there after two blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why does it take that long? Right? Like that's what they're saying about the Packers special teams coach said, we're going to get a block because your protection looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, you can't find points until late in the fourth quarter, no matter how good it looked, no matter how many good passes the young quarterback threw. You only had 10 points going in. And then there's just details all throughout the game of, you know, even challenging a play where everyone knows the guy's in bounds. It's just when you watch this team, it's frustrating. And yet you're hopeful at the same time after you watch them come back in DeAndre Carter, get the hell out of the way of the ball, and then a big return. Right? Like, it's just so many examples of this that is frustrating when you watch this team. And we'll hear what they got to say after the game, but I'm sure it'll be more of the same. And you heard the sideline reporter say the same thing, that we're a player-led team and we're doing fine. No, you're not.
Mm-mm.
You're not doing fine.
Well, I mean, guys, you know, okay, you get a field goal block again. That's awful. I don't think anyone will see that. Do you have to let him march down the field? You come down, you score a touchdown, you go for two. I mean, someone will explain that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then you let him go down the field and kick a field goal. Like, mm-hmm. What? I mean, whatever happened to their defense stopping someone? The same thing happened against Green Bay, where they just marched down the field at the end of the game. I don't know. They're about as far off the boil as you could be, and I get it. The safety's gone. They've lost the defensive tackle, but they don't stop anything. That fourth quarter, they kept getting favorable down in distance, and it didn't matter at all. The overtime, sorry.
Mully, in the fourth quarter, I went back to look at this. They had a 3rd and 12 that they let get converted. They had a 3rd and 13 they let get converted. Then there was a 3rd and 10.
With Nick Mullins. With Nick Mullins coming in.
And there was a 3rd and 10 in overtime. And that's where your money is, right? And that's where your head coach is supposed to be the expert on. And you can't have that happen. You know what I mean? You just can't have that happen. There's a lot of stuff that went on, but that's bad right there. You can't have third and tens or more and let them convert. You just can't have that happen.
Yeah, and O'Connell seemed to be ahead of Eberflus at that moment, right? He was calling the zone beater. He guessed cover two. Yep. He guessed they were deep. Dropped it off to Aaron Jones. Everybody else blocking first down. Next time they come back, boom, they got a man, and the Bears are in man, and they got a man beater, right? It doesn't mean that the players don't have to make plays, right? Like we talked about watching Jalen Johnson one-on-one, right, with Justin Jefferson, and Justin Jefferson wins there late in the game. T.J. Edwards gets beat by Hawkinson. It just seemed like that was over and over again. After that caused fumble, right, Jonathan Owens had a tough game, it seemed like to me, in coverage, and they were picking on him and trying to find him and finding their matchups with Addison, Jefferson, and Hawkinson, like we talked about. Going into the game, Aaron Jones hot early. Like Mully is talking about, this defense looking for a pass rush, right? Mm-hmm. The Vikings are on their 3rd left tackle. Quisenberry's in there, right? So, you know, they lost Darisol. Cam Robinson goes down. They even lost their, you know, Ivan Pace Jr., their linebacker, goes down, right? So everyone's dealing with injuries. Everyone has something going on. And it just seems like the Chicago Bears, like you guys are saying, they can't get everybody working together. If the offense and defense are working, the special teams making a mistake, right?
Yeah,
if the offense is going to, if the offense scores, the defense is going to give up a drive. If the defense stops them, the offense can't score. We can't just get everybody working together at one point in the game. And all that said, I mean, they are fighting back. They're tied against. It's just a weird game to analyze, right? Because for it looked like they got blown out. Then all of a sudden the game was tied.
Right.
Yeah. That was ridiculous.
Another thing, Mully, we're talking about details. I was looking through my notes here. It was in the third quarter, about 10 minutes to go on the 4th and 4 play where they ran the field goal team out, pulled them back off, and then Caleb barely got the snap off with 1 second. It was incomplete to Keenan Allen. How do you not have that already planned? Why are you letting your field goal team run out there? Why are you putting Caleb and that offense under pressure with the clock? That, to me, is, again, that's a coaching mismanagement, and that's details. Those are things that should be understood, communicated between Richard Hightower, Thomas Brown, and Matt Eberflus, and you shouldn't allow the offense to get in that situation. Be a little more decisive on what you're going to do. And that, to me, is just kind of another issue with this sideline. They keep having communication errors, and it's a little inexcusable. You can't do that. Like, don't put Caleb out there to sit there to clap his hands on a 4th and 4 trying to snap the ball at the last second.
Shane Waldron got fired again.
Yeah.
You know,
but I was just going to say, like, if you're going to fire someone, you fire someone on defense after that game, or you fire someone on special teams. I mean, I don't know that the offense, what did they wind up with, 27 points? Mm-hmm. That's about as many as I thought they had in them. I was impressed that they actually got 27 points. And they, what did they score, 10 of them in the final 25 seconds or something? I mean, it was the most absurd thing I've ever seen. But they did get back. And honestly, at one point, I was kind of just hoping they would get a draw, tie the game. You know, at least you're not losing. I know we were joking about it, but holy guacamole, that is awful. It's an awful way to go down.
Yeah, it's just that they don't break 20 into its under 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter again, right? It's just, you know, the Vikings go up 27-16 and they go into prevent, which is great, right? They're going to prevent, and now we have a chance to sit back there, move the ball, and the game just kind of totally changed at that moment when Flores kind of took his foot off the gas, right? And we only have 16 points, you know, after after a Vikings field goal at a minute 56 left in the fourth, right? It's just finding points throughout the game again, and you're right. We do end up with 27, but that's what, 11 with 2 minutes left in the game.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's just kind of crazy to watch, right? It's a touchdown, it's a 2 point. And Caleb makes amazing plays, man.
Yes.
I mean, breaks out of there, rolls to his right, breaks a few tackles, finds guys in the end zone for the 2 point play. And then, you know, we get an incredible onside kick. I think they said the first one recovered this year, right? So so that's what it takes for us to break 20 points, right? And it's just... You're finding it's just when you're watching this game and you're watching, they're the ones constantly talking about accountability, constantly talking about details, right? Talking about all these things that they need to do. They're a player-led team. And as former players, Pat, I mean, you're hoping that's successful.
Yes.
Right? We're hoping you're successful, but now you're 0-5 in your last five games.
Yep.
So why don't you try something new, right? Why don't you try take the blame? Why don't you try be quiet? Why don't you try to get off the radio, get off all your podcasts, and go to work?
We'll talk about podcasts. Another detail was Cole Kmet dropped a key pass in the second half on 3rd and 3.
Mm-hmm.
That was very catchable. And again, it's just the little details. You can't have that, and especially with this team. And it's just, I want to go back to Caleb, and it's a loss, right? But
yeah,
when we break down this year, we were talking about what's Caleb going to look like throughout the year? What's his evaluation progress? How's he moving along? You know, if you step back and look at this, I'm encouraged about what I saw. Again, Olin, he scored another field goal going into the half, right? He's scoring at times when he needs to, when he's making the big plays. And the other thing I like is he looks comfortable and calm in those situations. You know what I mean? I think the great ones can kind of just embrace it, and it almost like they're ready to do it. And I think he's got that little part to him, and I like that. Unfortunately, he didn't get the win. And, you know, he takes the bad rookie sack like I was talking about. But you are seeing some encouraging things with him in game deciding situations at the end of half. He's scoring points at the end of halves and end of game. So there's little things you can take away that are encouraging, I think, for him if you're looking at the picture of just Caleb Williams in his rookie year as a Chicago Bear.
It looks like, Pat, like he wants to be there, right?
Yes.
He wants
yes.
to be in those situations.
Yeah.
And even today, I was critical going into this game of, yeah, they did convert third downs, but those are with his legs mostly in the first half. Well, today, he sat in that pocket and he was, I mean, that's the definition of slinging it now.
Yes, yes.
That's the definition of throwing the damn ball, throwing a dart, throwing a dime, and it's just too fast for NFL football players to get in the way of it. I mean, he was making plays, but you just got to be careful here because, again, we get into this Bears situation of selling losing.
Right, right.
Yes.
Right? Like we lost, but remember all the good things we did, right? Which has been going on for too long right now.
Yep.
They gotta just, everything is fine, right? Everything is, you can find positives in every NFL game. My problem is you're losing these games and you've been losing them for too long.
Mm-hmm.
He threw 32 of 47. So that's 47 attempts. I don't know how many of his 6 rushes were attempts. I don't have the sack numbers in front of me. Got sacked a few times, right? That's three times. That's a lot of pass plays, right? So that's at least 50. And he ran it 6 times. He threw for 340 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a hell of an outing for a rookie quarterback. It's unbelievable. Now, unfortunately, they threw for 330 yards and a couple of touchdowns. At least that's what Darnold's stats were, 22 of 34. And then they got a 14-yard completion that doesn't count on that from Nick Mullen when he came in on 3rd and 13 or something. I mean, goodness gracious, that is a pretty impressive throwing performance. Again, probably way too many passes in a game. You know, when you get to 50, it's pass plays, no good. It's very hard to win, and the Bears don't win when they throw the ball that much. But I'm just saying, the kid had no problem slinging the thing all over the field today.
Yeah, Olin, we both said it. I think he embraces that situation in the fourth quarter, too. And I look back, I think I have it here somewhere, that Thomas Brown at halftime, I think, was balanced. I think it was almost 50-50 pass and run. And then I think the game got a little out of hand, and you've got to throw the ball more. But again, we're selling a loss right here, Olin. We're selling a loss. What I like is what I saw a lot of Caleb, but again, it's not good enough. You know, it's five in a row. I don't care how well he played. Yep. You go back into that locker room right now, you go into Hallis Hall tomorrow morning. It's not good enough, obviously.
Yeah, it's hard not to, though. You know, Pat, I'm with you. That's why we're talking about it. But when you watch Caleb today, as Mully is saying, you're like, man, there is something here, right? And I thought Thomas Brown in the second half, even when the score was still close, I thought he went away from the run too much. I thought that he would get like one good run and then try to take a shot or throw the ball, right? And I don't know how much of that is, again, Caleb pulling it and throwing it. I would have to rewatch the film. But I remember saying one point while I was watching the second half, like commit to the run. You know, commit to running the ball. Let's see what we can do there. I thought Darnell Wright and Pryor were getting a lot of movement there against the Vikings. I thought Darnell Wright was really coming off the ball for the run game. And I thought Thomas Brown got away from it. And it's hard because it's almost like the offense was so bad. From what you saw today, you just want to give credit where credit is due, right? You just want to say, man, they were at least did this and did that. But as we talked about earlier, these points come so late, right? And yeah, they do tie it up, but you got to get a miracle onside kick, right, to get to 27. And you got to score on a two-minute drive when they're up by two scores. And we all know what defense Flores is calling when he's up by two scores.
Yeah.
He's not calling his defense. So, yes, the young quarterback looked like the number one pick of the draft. The Bears, the defense did not look good. Continuation of, you know, Brisker's gone. You're on your third safety. They pull the ball out at the end zone. But again, they walk right down the field on the first drive. It's just over and over again. The ball got blocked on the right hash. So now you don't know where to put the damn ball, right? I don't know what you thought, Pat, but there's a couple of times DeAndre Carter, before the fumble, was running up and catching the ball. And to me, it was kind of crazy.
Yeah,
Anyway, I'll let you talk about special teams, but this team has an identity, and they repeat it week in and week out.
Yeah, just real quick, I know we got to go to break. It didn't look like he was tracking the ball at all, Like the the kickoff he dropped right. There was a couple punts he wasn't, and it wasn't a windy day. And then real quick on the muffed one that he had, there's this thing called a 7-yard rule. I don't know why they came up with 7 yards, but all the special teams coaches talk about it. That if you're going to let the ball bounce, you get 7 yards away. Because you can read kind of maybe on the second bounce what it's going to do. Maybe it takes a big hop right up to you, or it takes, it's an oblong ball, so it's going to bounce a little differently. But he wasn't 7 yards away. And again, that's details. That's coaching details. When you're saying Peter, 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 and getting the guys away, you get 7 yards away from the ball. And he looked like he was two, and that was part of the problem. And again, that's details.
All right, we will get to your phone calls. 312-644-6767. Again, the Bears lose in overtime, 30-27. It is their fifth consecutive loss, and it's a quick turnaround. They play again Thursday, Thanksgiving game in Detroit. I believe it kicks off at 11:30 in the morning our time. It's 12:30 in Detroit, but we'll get to your calls next. It is the Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing, and On the Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Then the Chicago side. Chicago hasn't had enough of these victories under Matt Eberflus to have that confidence to pull them in.
29 yards for the win. Good snap. Good hold. Good kick. And the Minnesota Vikings win it in overtime. 30-27. Knocking off the Chicago Bears, who fall to 4-7 on the year, and Minnesota keeps pace with Detroit in the NFC North.
You are listening to the post-game show, the Great Clips post-game show, presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. And gentlemen, we just saw them convert. That was like an extra point, right? I mean, it was they were down to the 10. I mean, it was too easy. Let's put it that way. The Bears couldn't get anything going in the overtime. Took a bad sack, and next thing you know, they're just kind of marching down the field. They converted like first and 20 at one point. They converted a second and 17. Maybe it was 11. It was just depressing, though, to watch it.
Yeah, and you're hoping Jaquan Brisker can come back too, right? That's one I think you're missing there. You're on your third safety there. I think that hurts quite a bit. There's a lot in the middle of the field they were hitting. So there's stuff that needs to be buttoned up, but you would hope that defense wouldn't be as porous as they were in the overtime. Yeah, it's just unfortunate giving up those long third and whatevers and letting them go down there and score an easy field goal.
Yeah, and it started in the first quarter, right? The Bears finally get a lead in the first quarter this season. First one. First time they led this season. I almost took a couple shots, but I realized I had the post game show, so I held off on that. But they score. And then, you know, that great play of Caleb to Swift. Remember that one where he rolls out, makes a blitz miss, and throws it down the field. Swift almost does like a scramble drill and just turns it up the field, and he hits him. But, you know, the defense comes right back and gives up the touchdown, right? It's like that theme went on the whole game almost. And, you know, I think the Vikings almost end up, and obviously include overtime, but, you know, I think they're either over or pretty close to 500 yards. I mean, I got to take another look, but just seems like eventually they could not stop their weapons. And, you know, O'Connell was a little bit in front of Coach Eberflus, a matchup that I really wanted to see. You know, I really wanted to see that Matt Daniel with 452 yards of offense, 7 yards of play. You know, it's just that's a lot of yards for a defense that we like to think is elite sometimes.
Well, you got a lot of people who want to check in. We'll start with Ryan. Ryan is in Villa Park. Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, or I don't even know what time it is, Ryan.
Good evening to you, men. I had a conversation with one of my coworkers, and they said, what is the worst Bears head coach in your life? And I came up with three candidates. But out of the three, I feel like Matt Eberflus is the most cowardly. On that fourth and goal, I feel like Nagy and Pressman would have gone for it there. Eberflus appears to be the most cowardly Bears coach in my lifetime. Your thoughts?
Cowardly as in football cowardly. I mean, I see what he's saying. It's just
– yeah.
It just seems like the decisions, any decision he makes right now he does, you know, it doesn't turn out to be the correct decision, no matter what side he's on right now, right? No matter when he follows analytics, he doesn't follow analytics, follows his gut. It just seems like right now he can't, Pat, I don't know what it is. It's almost like it's like you're almost cheering for him when he makes his decisions because he hasn't been on the right side of one in a while.
No, what 0-4 in challenges this year, right? I think he's, whatever his career challenge is, not very good. But then he went for two when the analytics or whatever they say, you go for two when you're down eight. He just, to me, it's been inconsistent. Like you said, Roland, it's been inconsistent. I'm like, what is he going to do? Like, what are you doing? And then just every time he makes a decision, it's the wrong one. But also that to me is a coach should have the feel of the game, should have the feel of the players, have the feel of your team. And it just doesn't seem like he has that. So I don't know if he's cowardly. I think it's just too inconsistent and then making the wrong decision at the wrong time.
I think by cowardly, he probably means conservative, right? like not going for more yards against against Green Bay, etc. You know, settling for the 46-yard field goal. Now, you know, there was no hesitation on the 48-yard field goal, and the guy made that. So it wasn't like it got blocked. I think it's hard to find a lot of good going on right now, because the one thing that saved his job a year ago was his connection to that defense and his feel for the defense, and they really had something going. And we haven't seen that throughout this five-game losing streak.
They do go for it on that 4th and 4, right? And we missed the pass to Keenan Allen there.
Yes.
It's just kind of, that's what we're saying is like there is times when he's aggressive. Like, he, you know, when he went for that 2-point, I was like, yeah, I don't know. I'd probably kick the extra point here just the way it felt, right?
Yes.
You know, and then on that 4th and 4, it seemed like no one really knew if they were going for it or not. Right?
Yeah.
We're going for this. We're not going for this. I think Pat talked about that earlier. You got to know, you know, it's, you got to tell your play caller on 3rd and 9, you got 2 downs to get this.
Yes.
Right. You got to let them know right away. And it just seems sometimes like they don't know what they're going to do there. And that, I don't know if that throws Caleb off, but it just seems like that's where this team is right now. Right. With, to Ryan's point, I don't know. Like, if you're always wrong, it'll turn you into a coward.
So here's what happens on that 4th and 4 situation as far as specialists and Kyra running out there. You stand next to your special teams coach. He is clicked in. When I say clicked in, his headphones are with the head coach and the offensive coordinator, and he's listening to what the decision is. And then it's either coming down that we're going for it to tell Thomas Brown or we're going to kick it. So when I see Kyra running out there, I don't understand where the communication is. His arm should be almost in front of Kyra, talking about Hightower, saying, wait, 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 they're figuring it out. Or was the decision made, yes, we're going to kick it, and then he's like, no, get off the field, we're going to go for it. That, to me, that's that indecisive, that you can't have that as a head coach.
Yeah.
That, maybe that's what he's called about cowardly, that you've got to know the situation that you're in and what you want to do kind of before you get there. And when I see that kind of happening on the sideline, there's something going on in the headset that isn't clear.
Olin, if you see a guy and he's maybe changing his mind on stuff or uncertain as to what he's going to do, does that lose the team? I mean, if you're a player and you're watching that unfold, wouldn't that give you great hesitation? And I mean, when every move the guy makes is the wrong one, whether it is the wrong one or if it just turns out wrong, doesn't that impact you?
Of course it does. And you know, more than anything, losing 5 games impacts you.
Yes.
Right? And then, like you're saying, the way we've lost 5 games, and then, you know, it's hard because you're like, okay, this team gets a field goal blocked again right away, but then they make the next one, and then we're in overtime. And that's why you're hoping for this team, for this win, because to get everybody moving in the right direction, to get everybody believing in what we're doing, you have to have some success, right? You have to have wins to go along with it, or eventually it just doesn't even matter, right? So like you're saying, Mully, it's everything combined. Yes, I mean, I'm sure in that locker room right now, they're all questioning what they're doing, right? What are we doing? And you can hear that coming out of Halas Hall. And that's been our argument the whole time, is the messaging out of Halas Hall, right? Like, just like last week. Like,
yes.
It catches up, right? Like, Cairo Santos saying, well, you know, I would rather have the ball on the right hash. Well, Cairo, you just got one block on the right hash.
Yep.
So be quiet. Be quiet, right? Just say, like if they ask you, all you say is, that's my job, is to make that kick. That's what I get paid for.
Yep.
Yeah,
and it doesn't. Nothing else really matters after that. It's just kind of, you know. And it's, I hear people saying, "Well, he did say it was his fault. Well, it's too late. You said it's on the right hash, and that's been going on all year for this team. All year that's been going on, right? So it's just, yes, obviously they are losing confidence not only in the head coach but in each other, in what they're doing, and their ability to win football games. And guess what? Guess what? The best team in the division is coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The best team in football, arguably.
Mm-hmm. And you're only talking about just be a good soldier. That's the way I put it. Just keep your mouth shut, and then everybody on the team knows who messed up. You know, it's taken care of in the locker room and understood that way. Just stop talking to the media. And, Mully, I want to go back. You're talking about coaching. I just always go back to the situation of Mark Trestman up in Minnesota, where we kicked on 2nd down for the game-winning field goal, and then people forget that we tried a 65-yard field goal before halftime. So there were things that, like, coaches were doing, and I'm like, huh? That, what you just, it goes against common sense football. And that's that was the first time And as you're older, I was, you know, 38 years old, and I think I know everything about football, so I'm really questioning him. But I just was like, what are you doing? And a lot of guys in our locker room after that game were like, does coach really knows what he's doing during special, you know, situations? And that's just one that I remember just glaringly that everybody kind of was talking to each other, you know, on the bustle and after you're all talking, like, what the hell are we doing? Kicking on second down, you can get more yards, and or we're kicking a 65-yard field goal at halftime because you're afraid to throw an interception to Hail Mary.
Yeah, it's just kind of when you go through the game and you say to yourself, okay, like, I don't know, like we're saying, when's the last time we made a decision when you're like, man, that turned out to be the right decision. Right. He proved everybody wrong there. Even going for the fourth and four, like, you know, Cairo kick a field goal there? But when you call the field goal, you get it blocked. So I'm just going to go for it here. But if you make the field goal, you lose by 3 points.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. It's just, you know, I'm going to go. The analytics tell me go for two. But if you kick the one, you win the game. Right. It's just wow. when you're watching all these decisions in the last 3 or 4 weeks, you start to wonder. And you know, like, you know, Pat and Mully, eventually it's not just luck or you have bad luck. It's just the preparation, the details, generate that's how you get lucky in the game.
Yes.
Right. You're ready for these situations. And I'm you're trying to find positives in a game that seem to have a lot of them. But again, it's the fifth loss in a row and his record through the last 3 years. And it's just you don't know what to say after you watch a game like that, after you watch a young quarterback throw it around like that.
I believe he's now 5-18 in one score games. Mm-hmm. So that speaks volumes. Bill is on the north side. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. Another tough one. And when I looked at the schedule, you know, anybody who cares about the Bears, including you guys, are going to be in for another tough 3 weeks with road games against very good teams with something to play for, with a coach who cannot win a road game. So I think we're looking at 8 in a row here when the Lions come back into town. And you'd hope they realize that Flus is not the answer and send him away. But I think we're stuck with him at least till the end of the season. And I hope that Virginia and George, you know, don't see him beat the Packers the last week of the season when the Packers probably are resting their starters for the playoffs and think he should stay, because that would be a tragedy. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Bill. Well, I mean, you know, I think Biggsy had an item that he had 3 years left after, you know, he signed a 5-year deal. And maybe that's one of the reasons they brought him back. If he has 2 years left after this year, I mean, you're talking about building a $400 million building. I don't think if franchise is worth $6 billion, I meant $4 billion building. Right. I don't know that that should matter if you're, you know, throwing away money, because you've been throwing away money. You just got rid of an offensive guard, and you got rid of a coordinator who is making a couple million. If you got to pay this guy to go, I think it's sunk cost if that's what it comes down to.
Let me ask you guys this. So George McCaskey has spent a lot of money on coaches in his 11 years, right?
Yes.
Does the board of directors sit around and talk about that? You know what I mean? Because they're looking at their cost. You know, Karen Murphy's in charge of all the accounting and all that stuff. Does she look at that and say, what are we doing here? And I'm hopefully that if this continues to go the way it goes, you're going to need a new head coach. And I think we're going that way anyway. But what's the talk amongst the board and the accounting department, and them and their money? What do they have to do with the coaches? I'm curious of how that conversation goes up there at Halas Hall.
Man, if I start to think about what the Halas Hall board of directors talk about, man.
But I'm saying, are you? What?
No,
you know,
you're
but are you
exactly
going to be able to
right.
pay a coach?
Yeah.
Because like, no, they might say, hey, listen, we can't let him go. Like, that's what's,
no,
like, it's kind
what
of
I'm
scary.
Saying is, that, like, you're exactly right, right? And if you just think about Coach Eberflus and saving his job, well, if I had to save my job in the NFL, I wouldn't want to face Kevin O'Connell, Ben Johnson, and Shanahan in the 3 weeks in a row, right? So,
yeah.
It's going to be, it's just going to be a tough road here for the Chicago Bears. And Bill mentioned it, when you look at this schedule, this was the most winnable game in the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
So it's a rough one to lose. Yep. They got to hope their young quarterback keeps improving. They got to score points. The defense has got to find a way to stop the run. And guess what? The running team that you don't want to face, when you got to stop the run, you got to see on national television.
Boy.
And, you know, again, we talk about this week, right? Like, it's either an opportunity or it's a death sentence. You pick. You pick which one you want.
Yep.
Or it's a job interview for Ben Johnson.
Right. Right. It's just kind of these Chicago Bears, like we talk about, they do have an identity right now, and it's not a good one, right? It's not a good identity that they have. They do just enough to sell you on the hope. And like I said, our partner there, Mully, coined a phrase last year. No one sells losing like the Bears. Right? No one does. So maybe that's what their board meetings do, Pat. Well, you know, it's pretty good out there. And
that's
true. We went to overtime and we fought back. You know, we fought back. We did that.
Yeah. Let's try John. John's in Algonquin. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Just want to say, it just seems like since the Washington game, the whole team seems like it's given up on the coaching staff. You know, looking at the team before the Washington game and how they played and preceding that, it just seems like the whole team is giving up on the coaching staff. You know, how you give up a big pass down the middle in overtime to put the, you know, Minnesota in field goal range at that point, it just seems ridiculous. It was a defensive player during the Washington game. You know, for everybody keeps saying Eberflus is a defensive coach. It was one of his players that was goofing around, and the only punishment he gave that was given to him was you sit out two plays. And it just seems like the team has given up on the coaching staff. And looking at the whole league, even what you're losing teams in the league that have a poor record than the Bears, you've never seen a player do what he did. And the only punishment he gave, you sit out two plays and then you go back in. It's ridiculous.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate it, John. We got to get to a break, but we'll get back to your phone calls. 312-644-6767. I think somebody's given up on the coach. I don't know if it's just the players. You're listening to the Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse, Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing here on The Score.
Bears line it up on first and goal. Williams, pressure coming. Williams ducks away. On the roll, Williams throws. Open in the back of the end zone. It is caught. The touchdown by Keenan Allen.
Look at all these guys here. So when he backs up and breaks to the outside, everybody leaves Keenan Allen back that way. Watch. Here they come. 1, 2, 3. Oh, great job of extending.
Well, there you go. That is a great job by Caleb Williams, and it's time for Who's Hot and Who's Cold, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency Call. The professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And Who's Hot? Well, I'd say Caleb. He now has 2356 yards on the year. That is a new Bears rookie record. He beat the mark that Trubisky set, and he's got more games to add to that to those numbers starting on Thursday. So it's a quick turnaround, and we'll name him the hot player. Anybody have anyone cold? Do you want to come up with a cold player? Go ahead.
The field goal team.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Had another one blocked, and you know, had a big one at the end. But you could argue that maybe the reason they went for that failed fourth down is they didn't trust them. Maybe you never know.
I mean, because even the one he made, the other ones he made, there were a lot of leak. There's a lot of leak on that left side, and that stuff that you should never have two kicks blocked in back-to-back weeks, especially in the same area. You know what I mean? This one was more on Braxton Jones, but both of them on that side have been giving up some pressure, and to have that 2 weeks in a row, that's pretty disappointing.
It's like that Seinfeld show where in Bizarro World, right? The quarterback and the O-line did okay. And I don't know what happened to everybody
else. Exactly, right? And the O-line did look good.
Know. Yeah, I don't know. The quarter,
That's pretty good.
That's very good.
Yeah, all like, right. I don't know. I don't know if I can go on a show anymore. I don't know what to talk about.
Well, I mean, I tell you what, we have some audio from Matt Eberflus in the post game. Now, beware, you could lose life momentum listening to this, but maybe it's worthy of our time. Let's take a listen to what the coach had to say after the game.
Okay, just got out of the locker room with the guys in there. You know, obviously very disappointing loss, but also I told the guys how proud I was of all of those guys of staying together, the grit, determination that they had to be able to make that an overtime game. You know, so being able to score those two touchdowns at the end there, put ourselves in position with the onside kick and deliver the strike down the middle to DJ to kick that field goal to tie it. So, you know, a lot of good things there, you know, in terms of that. You know, played a good football team today. Again, give all the credit to Minnesota. They did what it took to win the game. But, we don't have a lot of time to talk about the game in terms of the, you know, 96 hours till we play our next game. We'll be in tomorrow. We'll make the corrections and then go forward from there. And the guys will have a walkthrough. We'll work our first and second down tomorrow. Coaches have done the prep already for that. And working into the next Tuesday will be our first, second, third down, 2 minute, and then we'll work into our red zone the travel day. So our normal Thursday schedule that we've been using, it's been good for us. And with that, I'll take questions.
Third quarter, fourth and four, can you explain the confusion that existed in that sequence with the kicking team coming on?
Yeah. You know, we felt good about going for it there. We really did. And that was a green light for us. And I got to do a better job communicating to the field goal team.
Was there some rush in the play? Did you see that Caleb was kind of rushing the play? It looked like he was still trying to get things settled as the play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I think it's just the point where we need to do a better job. I have to do a better job of communicating everything to everybody. And you know, if he was late, then I might have been late. And then he was maybe late getting the call. So, again, we liked the call there, and we were all set with going for it there.
Were you planning ahead on that on third down, at third and nine? I think you were already knowing this is four down
two. Yeah, we were planning ahead. It's important that they do that. And again, I had to do a better job of communicating that. I wasn't as clear as I usually am.
Matt, what was the reason for going for two on second to last
down? Yeah, so we're down 14 there. And we really like our 2-point play. And we were going to make it a touchdown wins the game. And we felt good in terms of where we were in terms of the game, how the game flow was going at that point. And we thought that was our best chance to win.
Yeah, what was your take on the defense in the overtime? Obviously, you guys had them.
Yeah, the overtime defense was not good enough. You know, we ended up getting them third and 10. I got to do a better job there, you know, making the good calls there. And in execution, we got to do a better job. But again, that was not what we wanted. We could win the game right there, you know, on both sides, you know. So we, you know, put ourselves in position there. But end up, you know, getting behind the sticks on offense. But again, punted it away. What a great punt by Torrey. And almost recovered that one. They called him down on that one, particular one. And then we just got to operate better. I have to do a better job, you know, setting the defense up for success.
Do you have some concerns defensively right now with the run defense? And you guys talk a lot about bend, don't break, but too much bending leads to break.
Yeah, I thought early on, the run D was not where it was, where it needed to be. They popped some runs on us early, but I thought it settled down after that. We did a better job as the game went on. But again, we got to do a better job, you know, coaching it.
What's your concern? What do you see on the block field goal? What's your concern having a third field goal block this season?
Yeah, you know, we got to go back and look at the tape. And we got to look at the, you know, the kick, the protection, and all those things. And again, the ball was on the 30, I believe. So it's, you know, a good spot for us and Cairo. And again, whenever that happens, two games in a row, we got to make sure we take a hard look in terms of the protection, you know, the technique, you know, and then who we have in there. So it's going to be a big thing to look at today.
That is the voice of Matt Eberflus. What's your takeaway there, Patrick?
I just wish you would say it wasn't good enough. Don't tell us you went in there and said, listen, you know, we did some good things. Proud of you guys trying to fight back. You didn't win the damn game. Like that's the thing. Coach, you're not winning games. Stop preaching that way. That message gets tired in a locker room when you keep saying that. You know what that feels like, Olin? You're sitting in your locker afterward, and the coach kind of says, oh, but we tried. No, we lost the damn game. Like, let us feel this, and, like, let's get angry about it. I don't get that, and that's his same message every week, and obviously it's not working. It's not getting through to the guys. Maybe change it up a little bit. And the other thing, too, was he talked about the confusion on the 4th and 4. He's got to have better communication. I'm sorry. This is year 3, week 12, and you can't figure out the communication between you, the special teams coach, and offensive coordinator getting people on the field at the proper time to give Caleb enough time to get the playoff and feel comfortable. None of it makes sense to me. It's just, honestly, it's what it is. I'm going to say it. It's not good enough. Like, what he's doing is not good enough.
Mm-hmm. It's just when you're sitting there and you're a professional, it's okay to tell me that I'm not doing my job. I'm not doing it good enough, and we didn't win. If you start complimenting me after our 5th loss in a row, you're going to lose a little respect there in the locker room, right, to me. I mean, that's just kind of the way I feel about when I hear these guys talking about hold us accountable and what wins and what loses. No one really knows exactly what he said in that locker room, but if I have my 5th loss in a row and we just lost in overtime to the Vikings and you came in and told me that you were proud of me, I don't know, man. I can't swear on the radio, so I'd probably be thinking a few things that I can't say on the radio about someone telling me that. And, you know, we heard this speech from, you know, I heard Richard Hightower's press conference today, and he's, you know, good morning, and he wants the media to tell him good morning and speak up, and I'll treat you like my players and all this kind of nonsense, right? Like, get your field goal team. This is what I talked about when I said in a respectful way, you felt like fighting LaFleur after he said they knew they could block a kick.
Yep.
Because what I'm saying is they're recognizing your problems before you are.
Yep.
Right? And again, why did it take so long for you to change that you came back out with the same line, Pat?
Yep.
Right? That means you're telling me you don't think you have a problem.
Yeah.
Someone just told you you have a problem. You had a problem in the game. You came out, then you finally switched it. Why didn't you switch it 3 weeks before you got it blocked?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just kind of when you hear these things, it's just you. Obviously, we can poke holes in a lot of things because of the losses, because of nothing you're doing is correct right now. Even, you know, after the sack, they got to call timeout in overtime not to get a delay a game.
Right.
Right. Is that Shane Waldron's fault? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know everything that's going on. I mean, quarterback draw to open up overtime. I mean, we poked so many holes in what Shane Waldron did, but nothing about what Thomas Brown is calling. Nothing about what he's doing. Nothing about we're still seeing the same mistakes out there. And Caleb is winging it, and he does look more comfortable. But it's still the same amount of points, and it's still the same results.
Yep.
Let's try Mac. Mac's on the west side. Hey, Mac.
Thank you, gentlemen. Bless you guys. It's kind of sad on ownership and head coach's part that they thought they could go out and hire number one quarterback and get a couple of good quality receivers and not address the offensive line. And the defensive line ain't what they ought to be, you know, and it's just sad. The things ain't going to change. I can't see the Bears winning more than 7 games. I thank you all for taking my call, and thank you all very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Mac. Appreciate that. I mean, where are they getting to 7?
7, that's what I was going to ask, too.
Now, 4-7 after 11 games? Holy cow.
And, guys, they got 2 primetime games in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Those can be very, very embarrassing if it continues to go this way. You know what I mean?
Or it could be an opportunity, right?
I like it. Let's go, Olin. That's the way we went this morning. Hey,
you gave me some hope this morning. I'm trying to give it to you back, Pat.
I like it. I'm a little down right now after that.
I was like, Pat is correct. And, man, I was
close.
Hoping, Pat.
I was close.
I know, man.
You were very close.
I was close.
Yes, you were.
But it's a tipping point. You know, I think you know in the locker room that coach is really on the hot seat, and you know you want to go out there and perform. But then sometimes it just goes really bad in Hallis Hall, and then what you have to go face and what they gave up 452 yards against Minnesota, right? Detroit has got, a couple games over 500 yards, like three or four games over 500 yards. Man. So this could be just one of those extremely embarrassing losses. But no, Olin, I'm going with you before we get done here at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock that it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's you get here and then you're here again, right? And you want to talk about the positives that you saw out there from the young quarterback and the young offensive lineman and Braxton Jones out in space and Darnell Wright out in space and them making the plays and, you know, even, you know, causing a fumble and fighting back and recovering it and recovering the onside kick and all those things. It's just that there's been so much damn losing the last 3 to 5 years. Right? It's just so much losing, so much of repeating the same mistakes. And, you know, like Max says, like, you don't see much changing because – it just seems to be the same thing over and over again.
And frankly, you know, anybody who's calling to tell us they got to get rid of the coach, it's not going to happen before Thursday. They're going in tomorrow. They're working on first and second down. You heard him describe the schedule as you get ready for the Thanksgiving game at Detroit. And I would say get your Turk Duncan going because this guy's going to be there to share it with you. I don't see how they can make. I'm not sure who they'd hire if they made a move, but I don't see that happening at this point. So, I guess a nice long weekend after Thursday maybe would be a place to look at. But the Bears have never fired a coach in season, and I would suspect they're not about to right now.
Yeah, but you got a Thursday game, right? And I keep looking at Eberflus, and I'm thinking about situational football, why they're losing some of these games. It's on the head coach. It's on his decisions.
Yes.
So if you really want to take an honest look at this, it's not like the guys have quit. Like, I know I tweeted that or whatever. The guys fought their butt off at the end to try to win this game. You have enough talent in this locker room to win in the NFL. They're losing a lot of these games because of the coach's decision. They need to take an honest look at that and say, hey, are we a better team with a better decision maker on the sideline?
Okay, we've got to take a break, and we'll get back to your phone calls, and we'll close it out next. Mully and David will be on.
That's tomorrow morning.
I think, Olin, you'll be there too, yes, if I'm not mistaken. And
yeah, again, talking about this again, it'll be great.
I know. I know. And, you know, the horror is you'll get up early and watch it again. That I don't wish upon anyone, quite frankly. That it was so ridiculous they got to that point, and then
The good thing is that me and Hall can revisit the article he wrote on me in 2009 when I said that the Bears were broken, it'd be fixed from top to bottom.
Yes.
And it's just kind of like, I swear I've been talking about this since I had a helmet on, and we're still talking about the same thing.
Yep.
All right. You're listening to the Craig Clips Postgame Show, presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing, right here on The Score.
Play action. Darnold with time. Backside pressure comes down. He goes. Sweat, his first sack since October 27th.
Going for the long ball right there, so you're holding it. Boy, Sam Darnold got lucky. Montez Sweat is mad at himself. Look at that, coming from behind. He went for the punch. Really good job by Sam.
That is your hit of the game, sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. Good to see Sweat is back and everything is going great for the Bears. And we should let you know that we will be back here on Thursday. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's going to be broadcast on the Chicago Sports Network. And Olin and Pat have promised to dress as pilgrims. And we're going to say share food aplenty. No,
I have to recheck my contract on the Chicago Sports Network. Yeah.
There was no costumes in my contract. Yeah.
Where the money flows to when you go to the Chicago Sports Network? On
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I thought there was a clothing allowance of.
Just oh, okay, so I got you.
So you could. buckle up your shoes. And
it's like when Lovey told me I had to improve my suit, right, Pat? Lovey was like, you're a captain and you got to stop dressing for Men's Warehouse. I was like, thanks, coach. I appreciate it. So you're saying my suit sucks. I appreciate that. Thank you. Hey, hey, Mully, he called me to his office for a personal meeting about that. That's how bad he
really?
Thought I looked. I appreciate that, yeah. He said, Olin, you're a captain, and Adewale Ogunle and Musin Muhammad has agreed to help you out with your suits. I guess he didn't like my Men's Warehouse outfits. You know?
Did he really say those two guys to help you out, too?
No, he said that. He told me that his actual words were, big guy, I know what we pay you. You know, I'm sorry. I grew up, when you go into something nice, you wear swim shorts and a lower shirt. I'm sorry. I wasn't privy to the suit stuff.
Did he ever say you dress like a homeless man? Was that just fine?
Can you even say that nowadays, right? In 2000,
right? Yeah, you
might offend, a homeless guy.
I withdraw the comment. I apologize.
So after that, Montez Sweat sack, it's second and 17th, right? I mean, it's just, it's crazy, man. Crazy.
Yep. Like, unbelievable. Didn't matter.
You thought we'd get the ball back and have a chance to win the game. And the game, when you go through it, it was just – there was nothing it didn't have in it. It was crazy.
Well, I want to thank our executive producer, Tyler Buderball. He did a great job. We have a couple minutes of Caleb if you guys are interested. Let's take a quick listen to that.
Caleb, on that sack you took in overtime, what did you see? Was it a breakdown that made you hold on to the ball for so long?
They dropped a bunch of guys out, knowing that we had to, you know, get a good chunk play. And I held the ball too long, they made a great play. I should have just, you know, thrown the ball out of bounds, lived to fight another down, another play, and it's not what happened.
What was the ending of this game like for you, just through your eyes, the rally at the end of the fourth and then overtime?
Yeah, it's encouraging. Obviously, you see these guys talking about my teammates fight all the way through the end, regardless of what happened. You know, and the play is good, bad. You know, we fought all the way to the end, and that's definitely encouraging. You don't want to be around people that are quitting, that are giving up. That's not the type of guys we have. That's encouraging. You know, I think we got better on offense. We've gotten better over these past couple games. I think today was a testament to that. Being decisive, receivers and everybody, and things like that. And you know, it's tough. It's a tough loss, just because you get the ball in overtime and you don't go and seal the deal. And I like to pride myself on 2 minutes and things like that. I like to pride myself on being able to, you know, provide efficient drives, and that's not what happened today.
After the onside kick, the throw you made to set up the field goal, it's one of those situations where the Vikings probably had a good sense that that's roughly where you want to go with the ball. What's the key to getting it through that tiny little space?
Yeah, I think it starts from all the small things, from DJ and everybody being, you know, in the huddle, communicating well, getting out there, and then obviously, you know, speaking on practice and things like that. You know, we discussed many times about if this happens on this play, this is what we're going to do. This is where I'd like you to be, and I'll be right there with you to be able to rip it and get the ball to you. And the other guys did a great job. Obviously, everybody's a target, you know, but the other guys, you know, grabbed the attention and allowed that, you know, that hole to open up. And I saw it and ripped it to DJ, made a great catch and got down.
All right, that's Caleb Williams in the post game. He sounds fairly pleased. He you know, had a good game. What the heck?
And then he uses the correct definition. He does rip it, man.
Yes.
He does rip it in there. I mean, obviously, like we're talking about, it's just a young, you know, a young guy going through improving and stuff. It's just kind of, again, this team is 0-5 in the last five games, and eventually you just want to hear, like, we just got to find a way to win a game. Right? Yeah. We feel the improving and all that stuff. I mean, you know, like one guy's already lost his job, right? Like we're on our way to a lot of people losing their jobs here. And just a little bit of awareness of that, of the fact that we're not playing good enough here and a lot of people's jobs are on the line.
Yeah, well, and I got a quick story. Keith Armstrong, when we signed Cade McNown, Keith Armstrong, our special teams coach, goes to me. He's like, that guy's going to cost me my job. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I'm a young player, so I'm just talking about a young player not understanding what he's talking about. Because that's a first-rounder. If he doesn't hit and he doesn't make it, we're going to get fired. And I'm like, what are you talking about, coach? I didn't know what he's – but then now right. As I got older, I understood, and that's what you're talking about. Just go win. Just go win and make everybody else comfortable. And there's wives, there's kids that are going to maybe have to move on. So there's a whole human element to it. And I didn't understand it when I was young. And then, oh, that's a great way to put it. There's people's, livelihoods on the line. So he's going to learn that, I think, Caleb will. And that's, it's part of being a rookie and understanding as a young player that this game is different. The pro level's different.
All right.
Mully, real fast, after Montez Sweat sack, I think they get that first down on 3rd and 10, hit Addison. And that's when the guy on the first down marker went down. And he feels like all of us, right?
That's
the way I felt watching that game.
Yeah,
my legs gave out too watching that.
We all collapsed.
We all collapsed. I hope he's okay. Shout out to him.
Yeah, absolutely. The guy on the chain gang that went down, that was scary. And thanks to Aurelio's Pizza for delivering delicious food for today's game. You can download the Aurelio's app. Start earning rewards. Visit AureliosPizza.com to order the location nearest you. Aurelio's Pizza celebrating 65 years. It's the sauce. Stay tuned. Anthony Herron, Big Ant, will be here with the post game. And, guys, we will be back on Thursday, and hopefully the story will be happier. I don't know how that'll happen, but here's hoping.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck to all. Olin, we'll talk to you tomorrow, Pat. I know you're on Tuesday, I believe.
Yep.
Yes.
Tuesday at 11.
So we'll be listening to that. And goodbye to everyone. Good luck to all of you. And sorry the news isn't better. Bears a loser in overtime and continuing the losing streak. You're listening to The Score.